The story of this well-known, beloved breakfast brand starts with two brothers whose relationship faltered and finally had a falling out. A devout quack doctor set in his ways, and a younger brother who no longer wants to be under his brother's wing duke it out to see who will rule the roost in the surreal cereal realm. We'll dish out the crazy account of Kellogg's on this week's episode of FYI. Welcome to For Your Info.
English.
You got it. You got it. Welcome to this, another exciting edition of FYI for Your English, where we learn about a different topic every week, and I'm always eager to hear from you guys, FYIers. We've already gone over hundreds of topics, and as I always say, some of the greatest ones we've looked at have come from you guys, so keep them coming. And I'd like to remind you, if you haven't rated the show or left a comment, please do so right now, especially if you love the show and you're planning on giving it 5 stars. Also, I read all the comments, so please let me know what you think. And remember, the more ratings the show has, the more visible it is. And thanks to you guys, FYIers, this show is constantly charting. And people listen to FYI all over the world. The other day I was taking a look at the stats, and we've got listeners on every single continent. So thank you, FYIers. Thank you for making this little passion project that started in my daughter's bedroom into a very successful podcast. I'm having fun, and I hope you guys are having fun learning with me. This has been a learning experience not only for you guys, but for me as well. And today's topic I wasn't too sure about until I started to look into it and I realized that there was so much more than breakfast cereal to talk about. I'm talking masturbation, castration, and a feud between brothers. In fact, today's show has very little to do with cereal, and I think you guys are going to get a kick out of it. When I was telling my wife about it, when I was preparing the show, she said, "What?" So I hope to get the same reaction from you guys, FYIers. We've all heard of the brand Kellogg's, but I don't know if you know the twisted story behind this popular cereal brand. Let's start off with the intro, which is always sprinkled with tons of vocabulary I think you need to know. I started off by saying the story of this well-known, beloved breakfast brand starts with two brothers. That's right, and we're going to learn about those two brothers, John and Will. Remember those names because they're going to come up a lot in today's show. And the word beloved, I've heard people pronounce it beloved. I'm going to say what the priest said at my grandma's church. "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. Tomato, tomato, either, either. Vase, vase." These are words in English with two acceptable pronunciations. Well, these brothers who started this beloved breakfast brand had a falling out. Their relationship started to falter, was the word I used. And to falter is to lose strength, to weaken. And finally, it ended with a falling out. And a falling out is a kind of fight, but it's a very serious fight where usually people don't end up talking to each other ever again. Of course, unless they make up. But we'll find out more about that a little later on. I started out by describing John a little bit. I said a devout quack doctor, and devout is not the word for this guy. There are few people I have seen as religious, air quotes, religious, as this guy. And a quack doctor is one of these doctors that used to, like, make these treatments that could cure everything. I think you say, like, curandero or brujo. It basically means an unqualified doctor. Although he was qualified, he was a medical doctor. But let's just say some of his experiments or treatments left much to be desired. And we'll take a look at that later as well. So you've got one brother who's a doctor, Dr. John. And then you've got his younger brother who is Will. And Will, as I said, no longer wants to be under his brother's wing. And to be under somebody's wing means that you don't do anything without them. It's almost like a bird, if you think about it. If you're under your mother's wing, it means you're protected. It's almost like living in the shadow of somebody else as well. And then I said they would duke it out, and to duke it out is to fight, to see who will rule the roost. And the roost is the nest. Does that word sound familiar? A rooster, their mascot. And just remember, a rooster in English, what does a rooster say? They don't say kikidikikidiki, they say cock-a-doodle-doo. And roosters wake up at the crack of dawn. But we use the expression to rule the roost. And then I said a bit of a tongue twister. I said, who will rule the roost in this surreal, serial realm? Surreal is evidently surrealista. Cereal is cereales. We usually say it in singular. We don't say cereals. And the last word I used was realm, which is another word for world. And then I said, we'll dish out. And to dish out is a word I used on purpose because it has to do with eating. It's to serve something, but it's also repartir. So we'll dish out the crazy account, recuento, of Kellogg's. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you guys think of Kellogg's? You think of a wholesome, healthy breakfast? Do you think of masturbation? Well, it has something to do with masturbation. Perhaps you think of Battle Creek. What? Battle Creek, Michigan, the cereal capital of the world. And Battle Creek is where these two brothers battled it out, ironically. At one point, there were over 100 cereal companies located in Battle Creek, Michigan. Now there are only 3, Kellogg's, Post, and Ralston Foods, which are 3 very big cereal companies. But you can go there and do tours, and if you're a big cereal lover like I am, well, you can go there and see where it all started. But it's weird because you can really make cereal everywhere. But for some reason, the same way Detroit became Motor City, this became the cereal capital of the world. So let's meet the brothers a little bit more in depth. We had John, the older brother, who was a doctor, and he was a religious zealot. Okay, I believe in faith and I think it's good to be religious, but sometimes you can go too much. You can go too far. You can go to the extreme. And then you get what you call extremism, which nobody really likes. Even extremists are fighting against other extremists. But he was a serious doctor. He was a published doctor. He was very well respected. And he was a health nut. Now you think of it and everybody's a health nut. Oh, I can't eat my carbohydrates. I've got to eat this. Too much protein, whatever. Too much sugar, salt. People are health conscious these days. Well, this guy was health conscious before his time. But why did I call him a quack before, like a witch doctor? Well, some of his treatments could be considered torture nowadays. And we're going to take a look at some of those treatments in the bonus episode. We'll also see if these brothers ever made up. Hacer las paces is to make up. Or if they went to the grave holding a grudge, guardando rencor. We'll also learn some fun facts. We'll take a look at the dark side and a lot of the controversies that Kellogg's has faced. And we'll take a look at some breakfast vocab as well. All that and much more in the bonus episode. And just a quick reminder, every week you can get a bonus episode. That's almost an hour of FYI every week. Plus, you can get PDF documents with all the vocabulary and expressions that I go over. And in one set of shows, we can go over at least 400 different words, expressions, and structures. But if you want to follow along, well, you can have PDF documents. And then you can put yourself to the test and see how much you remembered. That's what the worksheets are for. But remember, it's not about memorizing. It's about exposing yourself to English every week. And every week we look at a different topic, so different vocabulary will come up. Plus, if you're in our super-duper level, you can get a weekly review class with me. We go over the key elements from each episode. Plus, we have tons of fun. And if you're in my highest level, my interstellar students, you get all that and a private class with me. And all that for around 60 euros a month. It's a steal. 4 group classes, 1 private class, tons of bonus content. I don't know what you're waiting for, honestly. And you can join us for as little as 3 euros a month. This is just a way of supporting the show and getting some bonus content. And you know what? If you can't afford to join us in the community, I get that too. We love you just the same. But I want to take a moment to send a shout out to all my patrons. Thank you so much for laughing and learning with me, and for being the best students a guy could ever ask for. A shout out to all of my students, especially my super duper students, Lina, Javier, Paco, Roberto, Jose Maria, and Mila. And don't forget about my interstellar students, the ones who get a private class with me every month, plus all that other stuff, Carmen, Isa, Paco, David, and Edgar. If you guys want to find out how you can join my curious community and love learning English, go over to patreon.com/Alberto Alonso. We're expecting you. Don't think of yourself as English students. Think of yourself as English explorers or adventurers. And every week we explore a different fascinating topic, all with the excuse of learning English along the way. I think we found the winning formula. Come join us and find out for yourself. It's patreon.com/Alberto Alonso. Now, where were we? Oh, right, I was telling you a little bit about each brother. And by the way, let's review these questions. What do they look like? Eso es su aspecto físico. What do they look like? They have a beard. They have long hair. And what are they like is their personality. So what was John like? Well, I already said he was a religious zealot, a famous published doctor, who now in retrospect was a bit controversial, a health nut, and an abuser. Oh yes, he was definitely an abuser. And the person he abused the most? His little brother, Will. He treated him like dirt, like he was his servant. I guess they didn't talk about how you're supposed to treat your brother in his church. Brotherly love, isn't that what it's all about? Well, John didn't love his brother, or at least it didn't show. And I guess we should add that he was a eugenicist as well. Eugenics is that science, quote-unquote, quack science, where they try and determine a master race. Does that sound familiar? Nazi Germany? Eugenics? So John was not really a good guy. Not the kind of guy I would want to grab a beer with. But don't worry, he wouldn't want to grab a beer with me either. Because according to his religion, which was the Seventh-day Adventists, the body is a temple. Well, I think in the Bible anyway, they say your body is a temple. You have to be careful what you put in it. But they took this to the extreme. And he believed sugar, fatty foods, greasy foods, and things like this would cause people to get excited, to get aroused, and possibly even touch themselves. I told you it had something to do with masturbation. Him and his religion believed that diet was a very big part of you getting into heaven. You didn't only need a healthy mind, but you needed a healthy body. Oh, and the irony of his relationship with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who paid for his medical degree, by the way. Well, the irony was he was ultimately expelled for misuse of funds. Well, either way, after they had paid for his medical degree, he was chosen to be the head of the Battle Creek Sanitarium. And I know what you're thinking. Is this a place where they lock crazy people up? It sounds like it, doesn't it? No, this would be more like a modern day spa or retreat. And it was located in Battle Creek. Obviously, it was called the Battle Creek Sanitarium. They called it the San. It was very famous. And it was a huge spa resort retreat where John personally took care of each patient. And it was swanky and luxurious. At its height, they were treating around 12 to 15,000 patients a year, including Henry Ford, Amelia Earhart, and Thomas Edison. So everybody was flocking from all around to go see Dr. John at his Battle Creek Sanitarium. He could cure them, and he used all kinds of therapy, including hydrotherapy, and some less conventional ones, which we'll talk about later. So what does all this have to do with cereal? Well, John, remember, believed that eating was an important thing. In fact, he believed that you had to chew your food at least 40 times before swallowing it. So he was constantly experimenting with different foods that he could feed the guests at this sanitarium. And they played with different oats. They made something called granula, which sounds like granola, doesn't it? Well, it is. And he was trying to make food that people didn't have to chew very much, that was easily digestible, that didn't have any sugar in it, and wouldn't cause you to think dirty thoughts. And he was pretty successful there because people were flocking from all around. And even though the food might have been a little bit bland, it was supposedly healthy, and they weren't necessarily there for the food. They were there for the opulence, for the groundbreaking treatments. So that's John. That's the doctor brother, the older brother. Then we've got Will, the younger brother who is sick of being under his older brother's wing. Now, he was not a doctor, but he was a businessman, a natural-born businessman, an advertising genius. But he was also treated like chopped liver by his brother. We looked at that word in the supermarkets episode. Chopped liver is something unimportant. His brother constantly mistreated him, and he took it. His brother would dish it out, to use the word we used before, and he would just keep taking it. Some stories that I read were that he made his brother jog next to him when he was riding a bike and take notes as he dictated them. He would also make his brother go into the bathroom after he had gone to the bathroom and analyze his fecal matter and take notes. Remember, this guy had an obsession with food, which ultimately turned into an obsession with poop. I told you guys this wasn't only about cereal today, but we'll get to the treatments slash tortures later. Well, while they were working at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, Brother Will started experimenting with the dough they had made. Because initially, these were more like bars, like cereal bars, but they were really hard. In fact, some of the patients had reported breaking their teeth on them. So Will began to tinker. He decided to add sugar and salt and things like this. And his brother John wouldn't hear of it. He thought this was absolutely unacceptable and it was against their mission. And supposedly, the original recipe for cornflakes was an accident. They had been working with all kinds of cereal and toasting it and things like that. And then one night, supposedly Will, the younger brother, left some dough out. And he didn't want to throw it out because he was a bit frugal. He didn't want to waste any dough. dough, pasta, dinero. Okay. Well, he didn't waste it. And overnight, the dough began to sour. And the next day, when he found it, he said, you know what? I'm not going to throw it out. I'm going to see if we can make something from this dough. And something he noticed was that the dough started to flake when it was left out overnight. And this made these flakes that everybody knows and loves today. And again, he added salt and sugar because he said, brother, these are bland. I'm telling you, if we find the sweet spot, we can sell a lot of these. We can make a killing. And again, his brother was adamant and he said, no way. Over my dead body, are we going to add sugar and salt? Well, that sugar was the original bone of contention. I think you say la manzana de la discordia in Spanish. They couldn't come to an agreement, and Will offered to buy the patent off his brother. On February 19th, 1906, the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company was founded. The rights were bought by brother Will. As I said, Will wanted to make bank. But John Harvey Kellogg, no, not him, he cared more about his mission than profits. And so his brother went to work. He added the sugar and the salt, and it exploded. Cornflakes was a huge hit, and Will spent a lot of money on advertising. He really thought about the marketing and the image. And in 1909, he renamed the company the Kellogg Toasted Cornflake Company. In 1922, it became the Kellogg Company. But it was a huge success. Will was right. They could make a killing if they just adjusted the recipe. By 1909, Will's company produced 120,000 cases of cornflakes daily. And John obviously resented his brother's success. He had always treated him like a peon. And in 1906, he filed suit against Will's company for the right to use the family name. Well, that suit led to a countersuit, which led to another lawsuit. And for over 10 years, they were battling each other in court. See, I had no idea about this dark part of the story. Successful product, but brother's relationship totally broken. And then it wasn't until December 1920 when the Michigan Supreme Court ruled in favor of Will. But I want to explain what a game changer this was. Before breakfast cereal, people had very hearty breakfasts. These greasy breakfasts, which were usually leftovers from the night before. Oh, and you had to heat up the stove. Who wants to eat cold black pudding, morcilla, or cold mashed potatoes, or pork chops? Well, this is what people used to have for breakfast. Of course, you got to think people were working on farms back then. Agriculture was the big thing. So people needed to eat a hearty breakfast. But now, all of a sudden, you could take these crispy flakes, you could pour them into a bowl effortlessly, and add a little milk, and you were eating within seconds. And of course, this was really important when people left the farms and went to factories. All of a sudden, they didn't need such a hearty breakfast. And according to our friend, the doctor, these hearty breakfasts and hearty food in general was making them think erotic thoughts. They were getting all hot and bothered, as we say. I guess that's what it is. I eat too much greasy food. Oh, and just remember, we don't normally say hot. If you use it in the expression, I'm hot and bothered, yeah. But normally, if we want to say estoy caliente in that sense, we say, and here goes your song, I'm horny, 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 horny tonight. I'm horny, 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 horny tonight. So this invention revolutionized breakfast forever. And to this day, when you walk down the aisles at your supermarket, you can see Kellogg's everywhere. But did you know Kellogg's also owns Pringles and many other products you're all familiar with? As we know, they are leaders in the industry, and many of their products are household names. Products such as Frosted Flakes, Special K, Rice Krispies, my personal favorite. Because with Rice Krispies, you can make Rice Krispie treats with marshmallow. Oh, now I'm getting hungry. Then you've got Corn Pops, Pop-Tarts, and their mascots are some of the most famous mascots out there. What are the mascots' names for Rice Krispies? Snap, Crackle, Pop. My daughter knows that one because she loves Rice Krispies. All right, here's an easy one. What's the slogan for Frosted Flakes? They're great! And it was said by Tony the Tiger. Show 'em you're a tiger! Show 'em what you can do! The taste of Tony's Frosted Flakes brings out the tiger in you and you. It's funny how some jingles will stay with you forever.
I'm 80 years old. And I love Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Brave adults are coming forward to challenge the notion that Frosted Flakes is just a kid's cereal.
I eat them, I love them, and I don't care who knows.
With that extra crunch and milk, that frosting just right, they have a taste adults can love every bit as much as kids.
Go ahead, Shirley, you can do it.
I love them, thank you.
What more can you say? Frosted Flakes have the taste adults have grown to love. They're great!
Let me give you some statistics before we wrap up the first episode. As I just mentioned, they sell so much more than just breakfast cereal. Frozen waffles, vegetarian meat substitutes, and other convenient food options. And even though cereal has been less popular these days because people are more health conscious, they still produce over 1 million cereal boxes a day. They have factories all around the world, and you can find their products in more than 180 countries. Kellogg's products are made in 18 countries. And let's see if you guys know where Kellogg's largest factory is. It's located in Trafford Park, Greater Manchester. It's also the location of its UK headquarters. There are other corporate office locations in Chicago, Dublin, and Shanghai. And despite having 1 million options for breakfast, the cereal aisle is still a favorite for many people, even if it's just for the nostalgia. I mean, who doesn't know that rooster? Oh, and I'm going to tell you how the rooster got its name and why they chose a rooster. But that's in the bonus episode. Plus, we're going to see if these brothers made up or if they went to the grave holding a grudge. And I'll let you guys be the judge. Who's the real Kellogg? Who's the one who made their last name a household name to this day? Well, we'll learn more about both brothers and so much more in the bonus episode of today's FYI.